know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey y'all,
I am a cool soror of.
What's up y'all? I'm a cool soror of.
Hi, I am a cool soror of.
Podcast hosted by me, Rashawn Ali.
We are back, and it is a great edition of the Cool Soror Podcast. I haven't even recorded it, and I know it's going to be good because it's with my sister, Selena Johnson, who is a cool soror of
Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated.
Welcome to the show. How are you, my dear?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Fabulous. I'm doing fabulous. This has been a long time coming. I tried to get Selena to record with me. You know, even during the pilot season of our pilot of our show, Sister Circle, but it wasn't time then.
Right, right.
You know, because now we, you know,
we have a deeper connection.
We have a deeper connection. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is the time that it's supposed to happen. We're sitting right outside of our green room. So if you hear people coming in and out of doors, it's okay. We are literally outside the green room because this pretty much is the only place we can be without getting told on.
Yeah. And we gotta work all the time and go to sleep and be with kids. So.
And do all that stuff. Do all that stuff. Selena, oh my. Grammy award winning singer, songwriter. Mother. Sister, you have done it all, wife, and this life has been real good to you, but you've come through
a lot. It's been full.
Yeah.
You know, has been good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm glad that you said that because we get so bogged down into what it hasn't been that we don't really focus on what it has been.
Yes.
And so, like, even today on the show, you know, in the sister cam, it really just kind of, it just took me back to what I've, just a little glimpse of what I've come through, you know? So I'm just really grateful. And I just, before I used to be kind of like, oh man, when is it going to get better for me? But you know, being on Sister Circle and just being in the position that I'm in now just kind of lets me know that everything that I had to go through, I had to go through to get to this spot.
This purpose.
Right.
Yeah, this right here. And we're referring to Sister Cam. If you have not watched our new show, please make sure you do that daily at 9 a.m. On TV One and 12 other Tegna stations across the United States. And Sister Cam kind of gives a spotlight on what we are, who we are behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And it started off with you, of course, for what most of America knows you as this prolific singer.
Yes.
When did you know you had this gift to sing?
Well, in the sixth grade.
Yes.
If I'm, you know, that's my first memory of someone confirming that my singing talent was strong enough to be of the level that it is now.
Yeah, yeah.
But before then, my father used to tell me to shut up all the time. And so I didn't think I could sing. And I wanted a whole nother career. I wanted to be a doctor and I wanted to be something different.
Yeah.
Because I just thought that singing was something I could do.
Right.
You know,
right.
So. In the sixth grade, my sixth grade teacher, she was an opera singer, and she used to sing all around the class all the time, and she caught me singing somewhere and encouraged me to sing more and more and more. So I think I kind of got some of my, guts from her to do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and then people had me sing around the house and everywhere all the time, but it wasn't the focal point of who I was, you know, in my mind, you know, until as I got older, people started being like,
well, you know, your dad was in the music business. Do you think the whole shut up thing was because he actually heard a talent and he knew, like, the trajectory of your life being in the business, being that he was in it? Like, why do you think he wanted to quiet that voice?
Well, you know, I think it's twofold.
Okay.
First of all, he told me that the reason why he would tell me to shut up is because he would be on the phone with record executives and they would be like, who is that? Who is that? And he said it was because he didn't want his baby to be in the industry so early, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then as I've gotten older and I as an adult, I kind of know who my father is.
Mm-hmm.
I just really think that my father did not want the spotlight to be taken off of him
at any point.
And to this day, the same thing applies.
Uh-huh.
I just don't think he took me seriously. I just think that he just didn't want to share the spotlight until I was 15 years old. And I was in an audition for a play, and the guy who was the piano player His name was Tony Clemons, and he was like, "You Seal Johnson's daughter?
Yeah.
I'm going to call Seal right now." And he called my dad and was like, "Why you ain't doing nothing with your daughter this?" And he acted like he had never heard me sing ever before.
Wow, wow.
And it was then, though, I guess, when someone else told him that was in the music business, you know, you tripping.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he felt like, well, I can make some money off of this and I can groom my daughter. And he used to say things like, you know, because my father's just off the chain. He would say things like, "Oh, Al Green ain't got no daughters."
Mm.
Just out of nowhere, you know.
Like,
you know, it just, I'm just a weapon. So at this point, it's like, your daughter's a weapon. Like, my father's just, he's just a very hurt. He's hurt from the industry of what it was. So I kind of understand the reason why he is the way he is. But, you know, it's a lot of little reasons why he could have probably said that. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did that, in retrospect, now that you're a grown woman, you have your own children, did that hurt you?
No, because I didn't know what my talent was.
Okay.
So at the time, it was just like, I'm going to keep singing anyway because right. It's fun, you know.
Yeah, forget what he said.
I bet you I could sound, because at the time, my way of confirming, I kind of knew I could sing, mm-hmm. but I didn't really know. So I would listen to the radio, and I would mimic all the artists on the radio.
Yeah.
And that was confirmation for me, like, if I can do what they're doing, then, you know, then I could do that too one day, you
right,
know. But
right.
I just didn't have the confidence because I didn't really think that it was. But I used to mimic the radio, and it was fun to do.
Yeah. Do you remember some of the artists that you used to mimic?
Yes. I used to mimic Aretha Franklin. I used to mimic Evelyn Champagne King. I used to mimic Prince. I used to mimic Michael Jackson.
Wow.
You know, all of the Stevie Wonder, anybody that was hot on the radio, I would mimic it. And then my sister was a big music fan, so she used to play albums. You remember they had the 33?
Yes, yes.
She used to play the big 33 inches in the basement. And we used to go in the basement and perform, because my dad used to have mics and stuff down there all the time, so we would act like we were singing and stuff all the time. So I would try to mimic whoever was hot. You know,
yeah.
Madonna, you know, because back in the day it was white people.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Dominating the radio, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I would just mimic people, and that was my way.
Okay, so when was it that...
Of course.
Right.
Z5.
Exactly. So my stylist, Erica Benoit, just came out and showed me the dress I'm wearing tomorrow, and it's blue, and of course, I've been getting this whole thing with Selena and Cherie.
Yes,
yes, yes, I know. Well, we digress. So when did you... The matriculation, not really the matriculation, the record deal, when did that come?
Well, I had my first, man, when I was 15 years old, I went in and recorded my first album with my father after that whole Tony Clemons situation.
Yeah.
And my father said that he shopped it, but it didn't get picked up. So then I started working with my cousin with this company called Radix Records, was a production company. I only got through 5 songs. They tried to shop that, mm-hmm. didn't get picked up. So my father signed me and went back working with my father. He signed me to... Twinight Records, which was his independent label.
Okay.
And then we did this record, Love Hangover, which is kind of out in the world. It's real hard to get now because it was only a few released.
Yeah.
And then from there, I went to college, and I was at Illinois State, uh-huh. and I sent in a tape to Jive Records, and they called me back, and then 4 months later, I was signed to Jive Records.
Right.
That was the first national record deal for me in 1998.
Okay.
February 12th of 1998.
Okay. And so at that point, did you leave school immediately?
Girl, when I tell you, I went on down to the registration.
What you tell them, good
I went
folks.
On down to the registration office and told them, look here, it was real nice knowing y'all.
Yeah.
But I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so crazy is I was holding 18 hours. I was the bacillus of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority,
wow.
Lambda Epsilon at Illinois State.
Uh-huh.
And now you're going to come on down to...
It's fine.
And then, that's cute, coming in all talking all
right,
loud.
Right, I love it. This and is then, really like Cool Soar
this
Live.
This
I mean,
because he frat.
Be.
You see A5A.
Right.
But, and then I was the vice president of the National Paneling Council
on
all
campus.
At the same
right,
time
right.
on campus. And I had to drop everything.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to, girl, but I was like, bah.
Yeah, because this was a dream.
It was like, listen, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's so crazy, Rashawn, because prayer really does change things.
Mm-hmm.
I will never forget. I was watching BET and Destiny's Child, he was saying, no. That little video was on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was looking at them like, I swear to God, I remember this like yesterday. I was looking at them in my apartment in Illinois State, and I was like, I can do this.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy. Why am I not on this TV? And I remember going into my room and in my bedroom and praying and to tears to God to give me that opportunity.
Man.
And after that, I had a conversation with my sister, and she was like, you better send that tape in, because I had a contact from Jive Records, and I just was holding on to it. Again, no confidence.
Right, right.
And then she cussed me out and was like, you need to send it in. So that's when I sent the tape in, and they called back. But it was that prayer. I feel like that prayer that really just changed, just shifted the universe.
Yeah, yeah.
And from then on, it's just been, I'm Selena Johnson. But mm-hmm. I came back and got my degree and all that stuff, but... Girl, I was like, Basco.
Yes. and now you're facing this music industry, this monster. That's exactly
you know
what
it's
it is.
Monster.
It is a monster. I know it just being, you know, I've worked at Face Records and then
still,
being in radio, but just it's a monster.
It's a monster, especially for women.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, we can obviously go down your entire discography and everything that you've done, but what is the most valuable lesson that you learned from being in the industry?
To not be in your feelings.
Mm.
You know, I think I spent so much time holding grudges and being upset about stuff and taking things personal all the time that I missed a lot of stuff for myself.
Right.
And I didn't get to live through those moments.
Right.
You know, I didn't get to really understand in the midst of, like, when I did the... Kanye West hook.
Yeah.
I didn't really get to just really
bask in that.
That moment.
Why? What was going on?
I just really wanted to win after that. I wanted, you know, Jive Records to do what they were supposed to do. And, you know, I just didn't really just be like, you know, I was at the Grammys because of him. I was overseas. I was doing all kind of stuff. MTV Awards nomination, BET nomination, all these different things because of that record. And it was just going through the motions. And mm-hmm. I look back on it now. I'm still getting checks from that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, why? I wish I could have been able to capitalize more on it too. And because I was so untrusting of the industry,
mm-hmm.
I didn't allow myself to, this is another thing I regret. I didn't allow myself to create the relationships that I should have created with some of these stars that I've worked with. I mean, Jermaine Dupri, R. Kelly is always there, but Jermaine Dupri, Kanye West,
mm-hmm.
Karis. Well, like, I've worked with so many great, amazing artists, and I do not have the relationships that I feel like I should have had, but I was so sheltered that I was just untrusting of everyone.
Because you felt like everybody was after you?
Not even after me, but they were going to do me wrong.
Right. Somebody was going to do you wrong.
And that energy comes from, I don't want to blame everything on my dad, but it comes from my foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad.
Mm-hmm.
He's very, trusting and untrusting and very, everybody, the white man and this, you know, he's very that. You know what I'm saying? So.
And it kind of passed on to you.
It kind of passed on to me. It was... Parents need to pray over their children mm-hmm. and break these generational curses or whatever. And I feel like sometimes I feel like I'm in the same circle, the same roller coaster that my dad was in,
right.
even in his own career, because he was underrated as well.
Mm-hmm,
you know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? But I refuse to have ill will and be resentful and, you know, can you curse on here?
Yes, you can.
An asshole or a bitch, you know, because... The industry was a certain way. The industry is a certain way to every artist.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I won't take that out on my new life and my new opportunities. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to do that because I see what it has done to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you don't want to be that in
the
latter part of your life. Bitter.
You're bitter because then that's how you miss stuff.
Yes.
Because you're too busy having a bad time when it's a good time going on.
It
you
is.
Know?
It is.
So I regret that. I mm-hmm. regret that I was young. And I was passionate about the wrong stuff.
Yes.
Passionate about the wrong shit at the
wrong
time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's your favorite album?
Ooh, let me see. Probably Chapter 2.
Why?
Chapter 2 was, I was coming out of a divorce.
Yeah.
And I was under the anointing. I really felt like I was coming into a place where I just started to realize who Selena as a woman was
mm-hmm.
and who I was in God and the voice that I had, not the singing voice, but the speaking voice, meaning what it was I had to say through my pen.
Right.
And that is that record is a product of me realizing that God gave me the voice as a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But what really he wants to show is what it is that I have to say.
Yes.
And in order for people to, or women, you know, to be able to draw a deaf ear to them, he had to give me this voice, this unique sounding instrument, mm-hmm. to get them to go,
hmm.
And once they do that, then they listen to what I have to say.
Yes.
Lyrically.
Yes.
Because people don't know this about me, but I was a writer before any of this.
Before anything.
I used to write books, plays. I used to paste them on my wall. I used to write and so lock myself in a room and just literally write. All of my songs on chapter one were from my journal entries and poems that I wrote.
Wow.
And I turned it into, because I was in a real bad relationship with a man, and I used to write, you know, write about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned all of the journal entries and the poems that I wrote. It's so crazy. Like my journal entries, I had a journal and I would write everything that went on, but I would have like a poem break. And mm-hmm. then I would go into like a poem just out of nowhere, right. In the middle of the journey.
Right, you know, you write your hook right there, right?
I was like writing the hook, you know, right. What I'm saying? I would bust a lab, bust like a 16 bar, you know what I'm saying, inside the journal on right. these people.
Yeah.
And so I took that and created an album. So it's really what I have to say, and I just feel like, and I ain't no savior, none of that, you know, but I feel like we all have a purpose in this life.
Yes.
And I feel like God is going to use me and has been using me to help heal women.
Yes.
I'm surrounded by women. I was talking, I was at lunch the other day and I was like, you know, every person on my team, every single person on my team is a black woman.
Yes.
My hairstylist, my assistant, mm-hmm. my manager,
mm-hmm.
my stylist,
mm-hmm.
Makeup artist. You know, everybody is a black woman.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just ridiculous. I work around them. I grew up around them so much. I feel like I'm so well versed in them. Sisters, you know what I'm saying? My mom got four sisters, you know, so I've just well versed in us.
Yes, yes.
And I feel like he's surrounding me to be able to help in some way.
Yeah. How have you helped, do you think, thus far in your life by using your voice as a vehicle?
I think that lyrically, I have helped women. When women come up to me and say things like, girl, I listened to that one song and it got me out of an abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I wrote a song called Hit on Me in chapter one.
Wow.
And I talk about, the hook is, I'd rather die before I let my kids see. And I didn't even have kids at the time. See, just stuff like that, like God putting stuff in me like that.
Because
that
he knew my time. Somebody needed that word.
Somebody needed just use me on that, in yeah. that instance. So I just feel like, I mean, because of the lyrical content that has been in my repertoire, I feel like it has helped women get through things. So many women have always come up to me. This album right here kept me. Every day I listened to this album and I was in this relationship and I was about to do this, or I was in college and I was about to do this. I wanted to drop out, but this helped save me. Same thing that what we're going to do with Sister Circle.
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? It's just the next, it's the same. It's just the next progression.
Yes.
Of what we've all been doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the next progression.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he had to put certain pieces of the puzzle to make it complete, to get that, to make that word so powerful.
Yeah.
He gonna make that word so powerful. So I just feel like, you know, we're all here for a purpose.
Right.
You know, we're all here for service,
right.
of some service. And I think at chapter two, that was the album that I realized what that service was.
Yeah. You finally tapped into purpose. Tapped into the purpose.
To the purpose.
Yes.
And once you understand what that purpose is, you're a little more intentional
mm-hmm.
in what you do, say, and think.
Yeah.
You know, and it's good. It's good for you because, you know, now you understand why certain things happen to you. And in understanding, I mean, like, how many times have you been through a situation in your life and you'd be like, you never knew what happened. And then one day you go, I wouldn't have never did that. I wouldn't have never got to this.
Yes, it or makes sense.
It just be making sense.
You're right. It was a part of the puzzle.
This was a part of the puzzle. And then when you know that day, you cool, like for the rest of everything. So now you're thinking, everything that go on is something.
Yeah.
So now you can handle your life
mm-hmm.
because now you know that it's a blueprint. Everything that I'm going through, even when something real bad happened to you, even when I got a diagnosis of my son having autism,
mm-hmm.
For many days, you know, and I always knew something wasn't right when he was two before he can get the diagnosis and three. But I just
you just
first
knew.
Thing mm-hmm. you want to say is, why me? Mm-hmm. Why did you do this to me? Why would you do this to me? You know, and I'll be so sad, Rashawn, just thinking, you know, I had a second child so they could play together.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm in a predicament where they don't understand, they speak a different language.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But as we grow and as I see, Kingston teaches my oldest son how to be understanding.
Wow.
He teaches him how to be a better brother. Like when you see other kids, they fighting all the time. They don't fight.
Yeah.
Because he's overprotective. He cares for him. He thinks of him. All the things that's teaching him as a man.
Yes.
Is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So then for me, pray for patience. You know what we do. We pray for patience.
Yes.
You got a son that don't care about nothing what you talking about, girl. He going to throw a tantrum in the middle of Sears. He don't give a, you know, middle of Target. He going to throw a tantrum. And it just taught me how to get calm, get focused at the risk, at the detriment of your own child. You mm-hmm. have to.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get over here and sit down. And it taught me how to be a better mother.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, taught me to have patience with my husband.
Right.
Taught me to have patience with other people.
Right.
So now everything that God is doing, he has done to me or done, not done to me, but everything that's, you're not going through, What is it saying? It's not happening to you. It's happening for you.
There you go.
So I started to realize that.
Mm-hmm.
And in that revelation has just been so much for me, because it just makes me love God so much more. Because right. what he be doing for us, he just be really trying to bring the people to the light. You know, he just yes. be really trying to get you to see that everything that he does is for the greater good. Like, everything.
Right.
Like bad stuff. It's for the greater good.
Right. It's how you react to
it's
it.
It's how you react to it.
Because had you curled up and stayed in that state of depression because of what you thought your son was going to be, then we couldn't talk like this
we
right now.
We couldn't.
Uh-uh.
And who would have known? I might not even be the person that I am. I might be real irritable and defensive and just upset and angry at God. Why did he do this to me? And why would he do? Well, I can't look at it like that. Kingston, it's so hard to look at him as anything less than perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He is literally an angel. He does not verbally, and he's verbal.
Right.
But he doesn't know how to verbally express a lot of things, you know. But physically, you can tell exactly what's going on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it causes me to pay attention to mm-hmm. people and not myself all the time. Stuff ain't about you all the time. Like, it's not just, you know, and we in an industry where, especially me as a recording artist, I'm solo and by myself.
Right.
You know, when I dictate my band, it's me. Everything is my way. What I say, this is my record. I wrote it. This is how I go. This is how you going to sing. This is how you going to play, blah, blah, blah. So everything is me, me, me all the time. You know, the manager, what does Selena want? What is this? This teaches me, and God had to do that to teach me, it's others too.
Yeah.
Sis. Like it's a lot of other components in your life. It's other stuff going on. Stuff just ain't about you, even though you with you.
Right.
But you gotta give a little bit of, you know what I'm saying? You gotta give a little bit to others and
yeah.
other things.
Yeah.
He just teaches me so many lessons every day. He teaches me something. Every single day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's maturing me.
In ways that you probably would have never matured.
And he had to speed me up for this show, baby.
Yeah.
Because we out here talking to these people, these women.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be uneducated. We can't be asleep.
Yeah.
We have to be able, this is an assignment. This is huge.
It's an assignment.
Rashawn, this is huge.
I understand. I get it
now. We got to be able to heal.
Yeah.
Somebody said today on the internet, this show just made me want to keep pushing through. What? That's one person.
Yes.
Imagine how many other people is doing.
Right.
That. Y'all sitting up here, y'all being transparent. Y'all don't even care. Y'all be like, what? I'm crying. I don't care what nobody say.
Oh, yeah, I mean.
Care what nobody say. I'm being myself. I don't care. I'm emotional. I'm. It is what it is. People are looking at that, relating to that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we've been through is for this right here.
It's for this moment. It's for this moment.
It's for this moment.
It's just.
Girl, you going to go home today and be like,
what a day.
Just stuck.
Yeah. Because we know that when you know you are walking in your purpose, it's everything is so clear.
It's clear.
It's so clear.
And you're able to handle
yes.
more because you know why. We're walking. It's being in life is like walk. I always tell people all the time, being in the music industry is like walking on a tightrope in the fog.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't know
what's coming up. But that's where faith comes in.
Yes.
This industry will test your faith like nothing before. You don't know what the next day's going to bring. You never do with your finances, with nothing. You don't know if you're going to be able to pay the next bill next week. You know, because I don't get checks every 2 weeks like other people and benefits and all this cute stuff.
Yes.
You know, my check might not come for 2 months. It might be a real big one.
Right.
But I got
to
balance it.
What about them 2 months? So I was, whew, man.
Girl, you got to balance it all the way to the 2 months.
Yes.
You know, your mouth, your husband's mouth, your baby's mouth. You know what I'm saying? So we have to have faith.
Mm-hmm.
God is, and I don't care what nobody say, I'm going to talk God. You know, I don't care nothing about these, my people, all that. But you ain't going to get me to stop. God has truly been, girl.
Yes.
When I think about, he has truly been there for me, Rashawn, in times where there's no one, not even my husband, that I can really go to just, I was reading on Facebook, Farrakhan, he had this comment on Facebook. He did a tweet or something, and it said, prayer is the ultimate stress relief.
Wow. I know. Because when you have nothing.
And it be days.
Else to give.
You ain't got nothing. He just feel you right on up. How you get up the next day? How'd you keep it moving? That ain't us. And having faith. Even, like you know what people say, you have faith of a mustard seed.
Yeah.
I be in my mind like, I got at least 2, 3, 4 mustard seeds. Mustard seed real. Look.
Yeah,
I got about 3, 4 mustard seeds for God. You know, we all got at least
two to three
mustard seeds
for
the
Lord.
When
you get down to that 1.5, you still got that one.
He only said the faith of one mustard seed.
Right,
so,
right.
Faith, man. Faith.
Love it. So, man, we could talk on and on and on and on. So much to get to. When you did R&B Divas, was your intention to change lives and then it turned?
Well, what happened was when R&B Divas came to me, when Nikki Gilbert came to me with R&B Divas, and this to her testament as well, we both, Nikki is a performer and a singer beyond anything first. Nikki and I used to talk about how great this was going to be for R&B music. And I truly, in my heart, believe that that's where she was.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, and I think she still is there. You know what I'm saying? Nikki is, when I was younger, before I came out, Brownstone was out.
Yes.
Before I came out. And I used to think she was one of the greatest singers ever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I knew that I put my trust in the fact that we loved music. And I still would do that. If it comes to Nikki's heart and music, because I believe that her heart is pure in that instance. I believe that once it got to the platform of television and reality TV and all of the stuff that goes along with that, I think the uncertainties, us seeing other reality shows and different things like that.
Thinking that you
tainted,
had to emulate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that tainted a lot of what you saw, of what people saw, of what R&B Divas was. But initially, R&B Divas was supposed to be a vehicle for R&B music and for black women in the R&B game to shine. It was supposed to be to help us sell records, to get our music out there, to show how difficult it is being a mom and being a wife and holding down a full career and all that, because it is very, very difficult. You know what I'm saying? It's like all the stuff you know about me, Rashawn, being in a reality show.
Right,
you know,
right,
and it
right.
was supposed to, and like what you guys felt on Sister Candidate. We were hoping to have people feel like that all the time, like, with 5 different women.
Right.
That, you know how powerful that would have been?
That would have been amazingly powerful.
Exactly. So that's what the intention was.
And then it just went left. Do you have any regrets about anything that happened on that show?
I have regrets about the fact that we lost our relationships.
Yes.
Women, we need each other in this industry. Mm-hmm. We need each other.
We need each other, period. You have to have sisters. You have to have friends. Just literally RSVP'd on some sister friends we meet every month for brunch. And, like, you gotta go. You have to go.
You have to go.
You gotta
go. You need it.
You have to.
You need it.
Yes.
It's teaching. And see, I'm real blessed because I have sisters, you know, and I'm surrounded by girls.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I have that all the time, even with my mom and them. Like on my birthday, we went to my mom's house, me, my cousins, my sisters, my friends, all the girls.
Right.
We were just at my mom's house talking to my aunties, just kicking knowledge. They were just telling us all kinds of stuff. Like moments like that are priceless. You don't get those moments. And so I regret that. You know, Faith Evans, in my eyes, is one of the greatest singers in the R&B game ever.
Yes,
you know, and to be able to have
and
been
vocal
on the
producers
same,
too. Come on, arrangement.
And not just that, her writing.
Yes,
you know, and to be able to have been in a predicament where we just was homegirls and talking and stuff was great. The fact that we don't have that anymore is not.
Yeah.
The only person that is close to me still, all like close is Monifa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and me, Monifa and I worked on stuff before. R&B divas and stuff like that. And Kiki, I've known longer than anyone.
Right.
We have an estranged relationship, but it's very, if anything happened, she knows I'm there for her.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So at least we have a little bit of that. Nikki and I are not on bad terms. I came to her one day and just said, listen, God don't want this from us.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you're right. So we have yet to really kind of talk about it. But the one thing I can say that is good that has come for me is that I have found peace.
Yes, you have.
After that.
Yeah.
Because I was upset at myself for a lot of things, upset at others, didn't forgive others, didn't forgive myself. I have forgiven everybody on that cast, production, whoever it is, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I am at peace. And
yeah.
And if I had to do it again, I would want to do it a little different, but I would do it again.
You would.
Absolutely. I think it increased a lot of awareness at the end of the day for my career, too.
It did.
You know, a lot of people didn't know who Celina Johnson was before R&B Divas, and it helped them listen to music and learn the music and stuff like that. So, I mean, it wasn't a total bust. It is, you know, just like Kanye West, that one song, people know me from that and nothing else maybe, but at least they know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, that's pretty much it. I don't regret it.
Okay, good. Okay. How did you get this opportunity with Sister Circle? How did this come about?
Girl, you know this story. I'm like, I was on my way to L.A.
You want
I want foot on the tarmac.
Right,
I want
right,
one
right,
foot
right,
in the plane.
Right. You know, just for the viewers, you know, the listeners that don't know.
What I was doing.
What you was doing, girl?
What I was
what
doing,
was, what
girl.
Was happening?
Well, Salisha, of course, is always in the right place
sister
at the right
and manager.
Time. That is my sister and manager. She was in Florida for a convention, and Georgia follows her.
Yeah, one of our producers. Yeah,
one of our producers, Georgia Dawkins.
She FAMU grad, her. FAMU grad, sorry.
Yeah.
See, I had to. Go ahead.
It's fine. I'm very jealous of HBCU people because my schools were weird.
It's fine.
But and they didn't give me any growth and they were dumb. But I have a lot of friends from them. I mean, and I do have Zeta Phi Beta. So, I mean, that's
a
good thing.
Right.
But yeah, so Alicia, Georgia was tweeting her like, girl, what you doing out here? You know, Alicia was like, girl, come on down here. I'm at the such and such. Because Georgia was like, you in Florida? You know, because Georgia follows her on Instagram, Twitter.
Twitter.
So Alicia was like, yeah, girl, come on down here. She was like, what? Had never met her before in person, but was just like, come on, girl. So they went down and met, and they were just talking about Georgia stuff, really. And Georgia was like, I'm moving to Atlanta. And I'm doing this, that, and the third. And Alicia was like, you moving to Atlanta? She was like, yeah. I'm like, why you moving to Atlanta? She was like, well, I'm about to work on this show called, you know, a new talk show for black African-American women, whatever. And so Alicia was like, oh, you need to put Celina Johnson on that.
Right, right.
She was like, what? You're right. Okay, then I'm going to hook you. I'm going to call you when I get there.
Mm-hmm.
So Georgia hooked us up with an interview. I got on the phone with Helen. And I was in L.A. for real. I was really with Kiana. I was in L.A. I was at a friend's birthday party. We was doing this whole friend thing. We rented a house.
Right. What we do in Savannah.
You see what
with
I'm
my
saying?
Girls, yeah.
And so I got on the phone and did a phoner with Helen about it. And this is the time it was, I think she wanted a one person.
Uh-huh.
And it was supposed to be local. And it was supposed to be. And I was like, yeah, you know. And I still felt then, though, this is going to be the next level for me.
Wow.
I knew then.
Yeah.
And then Helen was like, oh, I love you. Let's meet you, blah. So I went to Atlanta. I met Helen. And I came to the interview, girl.
Girl.
With this hairstyle, which is a ponytail.
Which one she loves.
And like light makeup, like a t-shirt and some jeans and flip-flops. I was really on some old, listen, if these people are going to like me.
They need to like
all. They got to like me for me, sis.
Right.
Like I can't do the doll all up tight. I've done that so much in my career, and it just wasn't who I am.
Right.
I feel like it was more of a character. So I said, I'm just going to be myself. And lo and behold, Helen was like, man, I really like your hair. And I really like the fact that you came here real natural and relaxed. I said, I felt like I needed to be relaxed.
Right.
And I went into Helen with, I went into the conversation with her about how I feel like this is going to be my next progression. And I told her this is going to be amazing. Sister Circle's, well, not Sister Circle, but the talk show is going to be the bomb.
You've been saying that. Like, that's I've been saying it from the beginning.
Trying to tell even Helen. She didn't even believe it. Right. I was like, girl, let me tell you something. It's going to change the lab. This show right here, this shit right here is going to be the next shit. And so when we walked in that interview, I don't care what y'all say. Y'all call me what y'all want. Miss Cleo, whatever y'all want to say. I was like, this it.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Rashawn. Didn't nobody else come in there. Right. It was just us.
Right.
You don't think that's weird?
No, it's not weird. It's God.
It's crazy.
It's God.
Then we went out to eat, and we was real, like, happy and
like,
friends.
We got the show.
We've been together forever.
Right.
And we was telling Georgia, yeah, this need to be the four. It wasn't even supposed to be four.
Four people.
It was supposed to be three at
mm-hmm.
that time.
Mm-hmm.
They had to take us, sis, because the chemistry is
it was
what
too
it
good.
Is.
And they kept rotating folks
they
in
tried.
And out.
They tried. It just
and
wasn't going to work.
When the four of us got together, they were like, ooh.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so if you know that, then you know something is coming.
Yes.
All of this coming together. You know how hard it is to get a show greenlit?
It doesn't happen.
It's ridiculous.
And that was my attitude. You know, I was the only one that was like, all right.
Yeah, I knew. I kept saying the whole time. I was in email like, yep, just let me know. Just tell me where I'm at.
Right.
Tell me where we're going to be.
You sure did. You kept that attitude
kept
the entire time.
Because I knew. What made you so sure? I know. You know how you know you go if you go on a job interview. See, I don't have regular job interviews. These be my interview.
Right.
So you know if you go on a job interview or something, you just know.
I did. Yeah.
And then you get it.
Yeah.
That's the Holy Spirit. That's discernment.
Yes.
So I knew. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I knew at the pilot. It was just all this confirmation. I'm like, I know. Even Georgia was like, if we don't hear anything back by December, then I don't know. I was just like, it's just chill, sis. It's all coming along.
It is. And we literally got the green light.
It was quick.
It was very quick.
It looked like it was long, but
right.
it wasn't.
Right. Was that
the
like
green was
May?
Like April or May. Right.
And then we were like, y'all start work July 31st. We were like,
girl.
Really?
We start.
Right. And then
and
y'all
now
start.
Here we are.
Right. You start on September 11th, and then that got pushed back. But like it happened very fast.
Like,
very fast.
Tomorrow's day four.
And we
then
already
Friday,
are
then a week through.
Changing lives so far.
Already.
And that's what it's about.
This is what God has. And listen, we don't have to be anybody but ourselves to do it.
Gosh. That's the beauty
of it.
I should
throw this mic just on that.
Right, but I don't want you to break my equipment.
I ain't
gonna
make the equipment.
But
I should just take the whole thing and just.
That's the one thing Helen has never said. Rashawn, that was a little too much Decatur. Or
nope.
Don't, you know.
They
or
just let us
they
be.
They let us be. And that's,
even our clothes,
yeah.
our hair,
mm-hmm.
it'd be a little bit tweaks. Can you guys do this? Can you do that? That ain't nothing.
Yes.
They let us really be ourselves. And that is such a blessing.
It's a huge blessing. It's such a huge blessing.
And they allow us, because it allows us to like each other.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us permission to, you know, play music in the dressing room.
Yes. Dance around.
You know what I'm saying? Be whoever, whenever. And it's welcomed.
Yes. It is. Gotta love it. Well, in the spring of 1996, you became a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Did Zeta Phi Beta choose you, or did you choose Zeta Phi Beta?
Well, I am a legacy, so therefore, my sister is a Zeta.
Mm-hmm.
Salisha pledged at Southern Illinois Edwardsville.
Okay.
And I was at Drake University at the time, and they were trying to start a undergraduate chapter because they had this
at
huge,
Drake there wasn't
at Drake,
one there
there was
okay.
no undergraduate
okay.
chapter and they have five of us
mm-hmm.
The graduate chapter was called New Mu Zeta
mm-hmm.
and it takes five to start a chapter now Upsilon Zeta I think is the chapter that was in Iowa State I think
okay.
Upsilon Zeta or something like that I don't want to be messing up the words.
Don't mess them up.
Iowa State. But it was the Iowa State Zetas. I really, really loved them.
Mm-hmm.
They were so dope to me. They were all beautiful and, you know, down to earth. And I was just like, man, you know, I really want to be a Zeta because of them too. And I went to their informational.
Uh-huh.
And I was getting ready to go, you know, do intake
mm-hmm.
out there because they had, it was 30 minutes away from Drake. And they had an undergraduate chapter. But the New Mu Zeta was like, no, you can't do that. We're not allowing that. We're going to start a chapter here.
Okay.
So we have five girls, but then two, but
all right.
two didn't finish all of their
stuff,
financial papers,
right?
For the chapter,
right?
So we ended up having to take on the name of New Museta, but we were really undergrads.
Oh, gotcha.
And in the spring of '96, April 20th, 2:55 a.m. we went through the intake process, and
right.
then
I love this.
You know, and then and then I transferred to Illinois State, which
Got
was
it.
Lambda Epsilon, and I transferred into, they allowed me to transfer into the undergrad chapter because I was still undergraduate, and so I pretty much did all my undergraduate
stuff there.
Stuff under Lambda Ellie.
Gotcha. Then you became a leader in the chapter and all of that. That's what you do, though.
Because I'm a leader.
You're a leader.
And what was so weird is they had a line
mm-hmm.
of five women.
Okay.
USS Saints. And their deuce, I mean, their tray,
mm-hmm.
Their line crossed April 21st.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they used to call me AS,
uh-huh.
adopted ship.
Love it.
We were like the same. They crossed April 21st, spring 96.
Love
I
it.
Crossed April 20th, spring 96.
I love it.
It was just like, as soon as I came, they just... And they was deep on Lambda Epsilon. All the sigmas was deep.
Mm-hmm.
And then the a guy I went to school with, who was my pledge father, they called me when I crossed at Drake University, and they were like, "I'm gonna be your pledge father. I'm so proud of you." So I already had people, and then my pledge mama, Shamari Wilson. Shout out to my pledge mamas. One of my best friends too.
Yes.
And it was just like home. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? It was, and that was when you really got to be Greek. You know,
because yes.
I didn't really have, even though I must say.
Go ahead.
And
admittation.
I don't want to say this.
Admittation.
Had my sister not been a Zeta.
Go ahead. Admitson.
I don't like to admit this.
It's fine. Go ahead. We're ready for it.
And had there not been an approach of me by the
right.
Zetas at Iowa State, the AKAs.
Go ahead. I'm ready for
on
it.
On the yard of Drake University were T.
Yeah.
It was a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so dope to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm talking about all colors. They didn't have that whole prissy,
persona. Yeah.
They was like gangsters. You know what I'm saying? They was very
like
Rashawn Ali.
Very Rashawn Ali.
But I love them, and I love the Alphas.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch. Like, to this day, I can go there and
Yukio
Strahan, that's my girl, AKA.
Uh-huh.
You know, I would have been an AKA,
mm-hmm.
clearly,
mm-hmm.
If I had not been a legacy. But
right.
my sister was like, I'll have nothing of it.
Right.
I will kill you.
Right.
So, to go find some Zetas.
Right, right.
Girl, can you put me on the dang on intake?
Because right.
they gonna kill me if I
don't. No, but I know you yeah. and you rep for Zeta Phi Beta to the fullest.
Yes. But I do love
yeah.
all of them.
Of course we do. That's
too.
What the Cool Sword podcast
yes.
is
yes.
all about,
yes.
about your story. And you know what, Selena, we could go on and on and on and on.
We could, child.
Because we haven't even tapped into everything that
it's
I've
just
been able
stuff.
To learn about
yeah.
you in this short period of time. We've known each other like this,
yeah.
You know, for a year, and it's continuing mm-hmm. to grow. And like, you've become like one of my favorite people. I just want to tell you that.
Oh, Rashawn, you're one of my favorite people too.
Because
you get me.
We get each other.
That's what I'm saying. We're like the same but opposite.
Right.
So it's like our kids are the same age,
right.
but girls and
boys.
And our husbands do the
like,
same thing, and they're light skinned.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Did you see how Kiwan was light skinned?
Right.
Like,
I did.
I was like, Rashawn is probably like, oh my God.
Right. So I look forward to when you come into the makeup room. I know exactly, like, I've started to learn you. Like, yesterday when you weren't like yourself, I was like,
yeah.
what's up, boo? What's
yeah.
up? You good?
It's obvious.
You like, I'm
myself.
Just 50% shiny. She came in today, Rashawn, I'm 99.9. I'm like, that's my baby. That's what I need to see every day. But I'm going to be there for the 50 and the 40, and
yeah.
I'm going to bring you right on up, because that's what sisters
that 50,
do.
That's what sisters
that's
do,
what
child.
Sisters
we got to be there for each other.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, I love you, SJ.
I love
Auntie
you, too.
Auntie SJ.
T.T. Shiny.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for being. Oops, my last question.
Okay.
Your definition of cool.
Okay. Can you curse on here? I already
yes,
said
baby.
That.
Go ahead.
I already cursed. Cool is when you have run completely out of fucks. When you go into your actual, like, your reserve and
right.
there's no more fucks.
Right.
That's when you're cool.
Yes.
Yes.
I wouldn't have put it like that, but I got you. I truly understand.
Because you can really chill.
Yes, because I'm so cool with everything. Girl, I'm good.
Don't that 40 don't do something?
That 40 plus does a lot to you. Never got it when other women said it.
I didn't get it when other people. But when it came, it's almost like it was like a calming came down. Just like a... Girl, gone. Looking at other girls like, girl,
it's too much. Why are you doing all that? Much. It's fine.
Yes,
everything
okay.
is gonna be fine.
Everything is gonna be all right.
I promise.
Is it because we really know that everything is gonna be all right?
That experience, that war, the war test. Did you say you've been war tested?
So we just be knowing.
We just know, because it really does all turn out. And if it doesn't, it'll eventually
it's still
be okay.
Gonna turn out. Yeah. But you got it. Like, be a lot of girls out here that just be
team too much.
Just be team too. Much.
And you don't have to be team
giving
too much.
Giving folk all day energy.
You don't have to. Please reserve some for yourself.
Oh, my goodness. Yourself. It's my word of the day on Sister Circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I love
at
it.
At Sister Circle TV.
Please make sure you guys follow. I've been saying that. At Sister Circle TV.
And follow me.
And yes, how can people find you?
At Selena Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is Selena Johnson Official. I also have a new hair natural hair page, which is _SheNatural.
Love it.
My health and fitness company is Sheline Lifestyle. Mm-hmm. At Sheline Lifestyle. What else do I have? Twitter. At Selena Johnson. Is it Selena_Johnson?
It's Selena_Johnson.
Y'all know it. I don't even.
Right.
This is crazy.
I know that.
This is ridiculous. At Selena_Johnson. And follow my website, www.SheLeanLife.com is my
Sheline. How do you spell
company.
That? Sheline?
Sheline.
Like Sheline.
SHELEAN.
Okay.
Sheline.com.
Okay.
And then Selena Music is under construction. SelenaMusic.com.
Right. Tell everybody about your new album coming out.
The new album coming out is Rebirth of Soul, mm-hmm. November 10th. It is a remake album with live instrumentation of
love
all
it.
The greats from the 50s, 60s, and some 70s. Some okay. part of the 70s. So that's coming. And look for the tour dates. That's coming. And if not, you can catch me every single day on TV One with T.T. Shawnee on
That's
Sister
right,
Circle.
On Sister Circle. Selena Johnson, everybody.
Hi, everybody. This is your girl, Selena Johnson, and I am a national recording artist, television talk show host, a yoga instructor, health and fitness advocate, and mom extraordinaire. And I am also a cool soror of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Z-Fi!